We're holding in Igel Teiman, the third chapter. And the Rambam has just explained that even though the prophet in Daniel, we learn that there is a set time when the Mashiach is going to come, but we're not supposed to sit down and try to figure that out, because every time we've tried to figure things out, we've messed up, and it's very difficult to figure it out, and it's not helpful. And now the Rambam is going to enter a discussion about why Rav Saadia Gaon did give a date as to when the Mashiach would come. And in order to understand this section of what the Rambam's writing, we need a little bit of background. Rav Saadia Gaon lived in a time when both the Christians and the Muslims were having great successes militarily. And the Christians were becoming stronger and stronger as the Roman Empire and empire after empire adopted Christianity. And one of the things they did was try to get the Jews to convert. And they wrote all kinds of claims against us, and they made all kinds of decrees against us. And what happened was that even the Jews that remained observant started thinking, you know what? Maybe they're right. They're succeeding. If really the Christians are sinning in their belief and the Muslims are sinning in their belief, how come we see them succeeding materially, militarily? And us, we, the Jewish people, look at what state we're in. Look at how much we're suffering. And they started thinking, maybe really Hashem has left us. Maybe we're no longer the chosen people. So this was an external threat. At the same time, there was another problem. For generations, there was a sect that lived among the Jews called the Karaim, the Karaites. And as time went on, they dwindled in numbers. What happened in Rav Saadia Gaon's time was that in the Muslim world, there started rising to power, especially in Egypt, a sect that had the same claims as the Karaim. They claimed, we don't accept any priests or any leaders' definitions of the Bible. Every person is supposed to understand the Bible the way they understand. Like Luther made that claim later on in the Christian church. So they made that claim in the Muslim, in Islam. And they were gaining in popularity and in strength. And as a result of their advancements in the political scene throughout the Muslim world, the Karaim, who made similar claims and were seen as their allies, were also given advancements. So politically, they were given high positions, and they were able to make their claims with greater strength. And this caused a situation where both externally the Jews were being persecuted, and this caused them to start thinking, hey, maybe we're no longer the chosen people. Maybe they're right, because we see them having such success and we're so downtrodden. And internally, you had people standing and making claims, we don't accept the rabbi's tradition, we don't accept their understanding. We'll explain how the Tanakh is supposed to be understood, and we'll keep mitzvot the way we see fit. And this, in the year 909, in Egypt, there rose to power this sect of Muslims. And this greatly strengthened the Karaites, who were on the verge of extinction. But now they had, in the non-Jewish world, but they had strong backing. And this is the scene that Rav Saadia Gaon came to. And to that scene, Rav Saadia Gaon wrote his famous work, Emunot V'Deot. What are the Jewish beliefs? What are the Jewish thoughts? We're talking about 1,100 years ago. So, in a response to this situation, Rav Saadia Gaon wrote his work, Emunot V'Deot. And that's what the Rambam is going to start writing, that Rav Saadia Gaon had to really figure out a way of holding the Jews in line. And sometimes when you see that things are on the verge of explosion, you figure, let me save the situation as best as I can, and sometimes you have to bend the rules. And that's what the Rambam is about to explain. Ve'anu danim et Rav Saadia lechav zchut. And even though we just explained that anyone who tries to figure out when the Mashiach is going to come is going to cause the nation to err and sin, and the sages prayed that whoever does that, his mind should go, and his calculation should be undone. But Rav Saadia, who did give us a calculation when the Mashiach is going to come, we're going to have to judge him favorably. Even Omar, we're going to have to say Shemashe v'yole inyan zeh, that what drove him to have to give a date when the Mashiach is going to come. Ve'afal pi sheya yodeh she'Torah asra, even though the Torah said you shouldn't do it, lefi sheyu bnei doro ba'alei svarot rabot nishchatot, because he had in his generation many people who had improper thoughts and beliefs. V'chim'at she'tovat Torat Hashem, and the Jewish people were at a state where the Torah was almost completely lost, lulehu, had it not been for him, for Rav Saadia Gaon, alav shalom, may he rest in peace.
Sorry, what year did he give
us? We'll get there. He gave it in the Pirush on Daniel. We'll see. We're still going to learn that chapter of Daniel as part of our learning of this letter, and we'll learn Rashi on that chapter and the different dates that we're given. He doesn't, but I gave out as part of our introduction to Megillas Esther, we did those chapters in Daniel, and we gave out sheets on that, giving different calculations. It should be on the web as part of one of the classes, intro to Megillas Esther. And we're going to do it here.
The calculations was based on Daniel.
And Daniel, yeah. We're going to do it, Bezrat Hashem. Either next week or the week after, Bezrat Hashem. We're still going to do that chapter in Daniel and how Rav Saadia Gaon interpreted it, how Rashi interpreted it, etc. So the Rambam says that had it not been for Rav Saadia Gaon, the Torah would have been lost. Lefishuhu gila min haTorah ma she'haya ne'elam, because he revealed from the Torah things that people were unaware of, was hidden from them. V'chizek mimena ma she'nidaldel, and he strengthened from the Torah things that had been weakened. People weren't taking them seriously. So he wrote so many works in order to strengthen the people. He knew what he had to write, and that's what he did. And he made things known through his speeches and through his writings.
The fact that he was wrong, does that change anything in what he did?
So that's what we're going to discuss. You're saying he was wrong. We're going to discuss how the Rambam views it, how Rashi views it, and how the Maharal views it. We're going to learn, I hope, three.
Rashi saw Rav Saadia Gaon?
I don't think. Rashi saw his writings, yeah. Rashi quotes it, yeah. That's a good question, because oftentimes, even a later work, even though a work was written later, it does not mean that they saw the earlier work. That's one of the discussions as to whether we bask in like the Bavli as opposed to the Yerushalmi. Even though we know the Bavli was written about 70 years after the Yerushalmi, after the Jerusalem Talmud, the question is, did the composers of the Babylonian Talmud see the Jerusalem Talmud when they composed theirs? We have a rule in Halacha that Acharei Rabin Latot, you go with the majority opinion, and we have another rule in Halacha that says, Halacha Kebatrai, we go with the latter generation. Because even though the latter generation is like a midget, but it's like a midget sitting on a giant's shoulder. So the giant can see a certain distance, and the midget can see a little bit beyond that because he's sitting on his shoulder. So we say, even though we're much smaller than earlier generations, but the later generations see what the earlier generations wrote, and then some. They could see a little bit more. So even though they're smaller, we go with them in Halacha. And that's the question about the Babylonian Talmud. We have a rule, let's say, one doctor says, you don't have to do anything. One doctor says the woman has to eat on Yom Kippur. And 99 doctors say she doesn't have to eat on Yom Kippur. So we say sometimes you can go with the majority opinion. But let's say the 99 doctors didn't speak to the one doctor, if they didn't hear one another's opinion, so maybe he knows something they don't know. So we're going to treat them as equals. The only time we're going to say that we give more weight to a majority opinion is when all the people conversed, they spoke to one another. So your point is very correct in asking, did Rashi see Rav Saadia Gaon's work? But we see Rashi quotes it. So we see he did see it. So the Rambam saying, Rav Saadia Gaon, whose finger was on the pulse of the nation, he knew exactly where the Jewish people were holding in his time. And he saw whatever he saw and understood about the situation of the Jews at that time. He saw that in order to help the Jews maintain the faith and not think that it's all lost and things are finished, that he has to give them a calculation and tell them this is when the Mashiach is going to come, because that was what would strengthen them and give them the ability to maintain hope. And he meant for the sake of heavens and everything he did. And therefore we cannot make any claims on him that he erred in his math. For his intent was, as I explained, says the Rambam, that the people were in a state where he felt that et lasot l'Hashem. Sometimes we say we have to undo one mitzvah to maintain all the other mitzvahs of the Torah. The Gemara says if a person is dying on Shabbos and we have to desecrate Shabbos in order to save him. So we know we desecrate every mitzvah in order, almost every mitzvah, in order to save a person's life. But the Gemara gives another form of logic. The Gemara says, better desecrate one Shabbos, because by desecrating one Shabbos, you're saving a life which will save many, many Shabbatot. That life will keep many Shabbatot. So we see another calculation. So sometimes we do that calculation. We say, Rebbe saw the Jewish people were in a state that if he didn't write down the oral law, then the tradition would be lost and the Jewish people's future would be problematic. So he said, I even though we're not allowed to, we have a tradition that God forbade us to write down the oral law, I'm going to transgress one commandment in order to maintain all the other commandments. Yeah?
With no disrespect to Rav Saadia Gaon or to Rav, it's a very dangerous thing to do.
I agree. I think that when we read this, we have to bear in mind that the only people who can do this are people like Rebbe or Rav Saadia Gaon, people who, like the Rambam explained until now, are the top leaders of the nation. Meaning, if I want to do something like this, I couldn't do it. If Rav Bigon wanted to do something like this, he couldn't do it. Only someone who's not only a rabbi, but chief rabbi of the time, who really knows the calculation of the time, can do it. And I'll tell you another thing. Rebbe had his court with him. Rebbe didn't just call the shot on his own. Rebbe said, this is what I think. And he had 70 wise men who agreed with him. That if we don't do this, the whole tradition is going to be lost. I don't know if Rav Saadia Gaon had a court with him or not. I assume he did. I mean, he had the rabbis of his time. But Rav Saadia Gaon was the Gaon, which means he was like the Nasi. He was like the king of the Jewish people at the time. Even though we didn't have a land, we didn't have an empire or a set place where all the Jews lived, they were scattered among the nations, he was the chief rabbi of the time. So the chief rabbi, not the one who has the title, but the one who's the top rabbi of the time. The title doesn't always go hand in hand with the one who's the top rabbi of the time. But we see that even in the time of the Gemara. They had a Reish Galusa, the one who was like the prince, he was in charge of everything. And he'd come to the rabbi's lectures, because he wasn't always very learned. Sometimes the rabbis would tell him, hey, don't do that, that's forbidden. And sometimes the rabbis were all scared of him because he had political power, but he wasn't necessarily a great rabbi. So the Reish Galusa was just the head. He was politically the head. So that's what I'm saying. Chief rabbi in the sense that he's the chief rabbi, the top rabbi of the time, he, if he's a God-fearing person, can sometimes call such a shot.
But the end doesn't justify the means, though.
So sometimes, yeah. Sometimes they do. We say that Zechariah ben Avkulas. So that not. But we have Zechariah ben Avkulas. He was the chief rabbi in the time of the end of the Second Temple. And Bar Kamtza came and he made a blemish in the Roman sacrifice. So the rabbis held him to task, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas. You were the chief rabbi at the time. You were aware of how dangerous the political scene was, and that the Roman emperor had sent the sacrifice. You should have either brought that sacrifice, even though the Torah forbids bringing a sacrifice with a blemish, or killed Bar Kamtza. Even though the Torah doesn't say you kill a person who makes a blemish in the animal, but Bar Kamtza was problematic. He caused the destruction of the Second Temple. So the rabbi said, you, Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkulas, You caused the desecration of the temple because you were chief rabbi at the time, and you should have called the shot that this is a time that the Jewish people are in danger. And when the Jewish people are in danger, then we say, okay, we'll forego one commandment to save all the commandments of all the Jewish people. So there are times when the chief rabbi has the responsibility to do that. We can't do that. Okay. In general, we say we can't do that, but there are times where the rabbi has to do that. Yeah?
Why didn't he just switch the sacrifices?
Good question. Maybe he couldn't have gotten away with it. Maybe they adorned the Roman animal with special things.
He maybe was carrying a little bit of weight with the Romans.
Right, they should have taken care of him, right. Okay. I think that here we're going to pause. And if not, we'll read another paragraph. אבל מה שהייתיך משתוקק אליו מחוכמת הכוכבים מקיבוציהם שהם קוראים בלשון הרב. But what I see you thinking about, the Rambam says, I see from your letter that you're also thinking that maybe based upon astronomy and astrology, you could figure out when the Mashiach is going to come and stuff like that. שעברו ומהם מה שאתה מצפה. You think that by looking at the astronomy, you'll be able to know the past and also what's going to be in the future. Kol ze aseh otam minibecha. Oh, this is the Rambam. Remove this from your thought. Venakei da'atcha mimena, and cleanse your thoughts from such a thought. Uchatzich lecha, and wash out your brain, the Rambam tells Rav Plimo. Kmo shrochtzim habgadim hamtunafim mitinufam. Just like you would clean a soiled garment from its soil, wash out your brain. That's what the Rambam tells Rav Plimo. Rav Plimo in the introduction to the letter says, the Rambam is writing the letter, he says to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Ovadia, he's writing it to Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Netanel Alfayumi, not Plimo, Alfayumi, Rav Alfayumi. So he tells him, cleanse your thoughts of such a thought that based upon astrology you'll be able to figure all this out. Because looking at the stars is something that really is worthless. It's not true. Those who really understand know it's not true. The second you understand what's going on, how the stars work, even if you don't believe in the Torah, you know that that's nonsensical. Certainly if you're one of those that accepted the Torah, והפסד דבר זה מבואר מאוד, פיתנות צריך להיות אמיתיות, אין זה מקום לזוכן. And the disproof of this is very clear. There are very logical proofs against this belief. And over here the Rambam says, I'm not going to enumerate them. אבל שם השם אצ דבר ממה שבא בכתוב בעניין זה, but maybe you're confused because there seem to be verses that refer to the Jewish people's ability to look at the stars and understand things. Da, says the Rambam, I want you to know, Shemoshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe, our teacher, alav shalom, may rest in peace, b'sha'a she'amad, when he came to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Hayu chol ha'itztagninin pe'echad omrim, all the astrologers unified in saying, she'uma zo, that this nation, lo tiye la tekuma, will not be able to sustain itself. ולא יקל מעליה השיבוד שהיוו לעולם. All the astrologers said, it's signed and sealed in the stars, that they will never stop being slaves. These people will be slaves till the end of time. ובשעה שחשבו שהיו בתכלית השפלות, אז הופיע עליהם הרוממות. And when they looked at the stars and they said, you know, there's going to be a time when they're going to hit a terrible low, that's exactly the time when God uplifted the Jewish people. Ve'nolad az mivchal min ha'anashim. And at that time exactly, Hashem brought to the world the best person that ever existed, Moshe Rabbeinu. They looked at the stars and they said, on this day is going to be the worst day for the Jewish people, on that day was the best day for the Jewish people, Moshe was born.
Because Hashem interfered.
Okay.
I mean, not interfered, he changed the whole thing.
Yeah. All
our history were God's slaves. So. Okay.
And
when all the Egyptians were in agreement, all the astrologers, She'eretz Mitzrayim Yishlam Avira V'Yishman, that Egypt is going to have excellent weather, and Egypt is going to have an excellent year, that its crops are going to be fat. V'ayu Yoshveh B'Tachlita Shalva, and everyone was living content. The Egyptian economy was doing very well. Everyone was content. And they thought, the astrologers looking at the stars said, that's it. This year is going to be a great year for Egypt. As in that year, Ba'alem HaMakot, God sent the 10 plagues. Kamo Shama Yeshayahu, just as the prophet Isaiah told us, Kishayam Sapel Zainyan, when he told over the story, he says, Ayam. Yeshaya turns to the Egyptian astrologers and he says, where are they? Efo Chachamecha, where are your wise men? Ve'yagidu Nalach, let them please tell you. Let them figure out what year you're going to have. V'yedeu, and then they'll know, Maya'at Hashem Tzvakot al Mitzrayim, what Hashem had in mind for Egypt. And so too occurred for the kingdom, the Babylonian Empire, under Nebuchadnezzar. Kshayu kol itztagnineh v'chachameh, v'chol hanikra v'shem chacham al etzah achat, when all the astrologers and all the wise men and anyone who had any title of wisdom, professor, doctor, anyone that had any title, they all agreed she'az hayta atchalat rumuta, that Egypt was entering its golden era. Everyone was telling Nebuchadnezzar, we're just beginning to see success. The Babylonian Empire from here is going to shoot up. Umemshaltam itametzet v'olechet, and they told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, from here, the Babylonian Empire is only going to strengthen itself. Az nishmeda memshalta v'avda. Then, exactly, when all the advisors said, the golden era of Rome is beginning, that's when the golden era of Babylon is beginning. All these wise men thought, from here, we're going to have hundreds of years of success, and that exactly then, their decline began. That's when they were destroyed, and their reign was lost. Kmo shamar alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as God foretold would be. V'chen amar Yeshayahu, and that's what the prophet Isaiah said, me'atel behem u'mesachek aleihem, making fun of them, lefi shayu chachameh mitparim chochmatam, because the wise men of Babylon used to take pride and speak haughtily about their wisdom. So Yeshayahu would make fun of them and say, what wisdom do you really have? ומעטל כמו כן מן הממלכה שהיו אומרים שיש ביניהם חכמים שחוכמתם מועלת להם. And he also made fun of this kingdom that said, we have such wise men and the wisdom is so good for us, our wise men. אמר, that's what Isaiah told him, נלעת, you were wiped out ברוב עצתייך, because he had so much advice. יעמדו נא ויושיוך, let them stand now and rescue you, הוברי שמיים, those that look into the heavens and think they understand the future. They look into the stars and they say, we'll tell you what's going to happen, and each month we'll tell you what new occurrences will transpire. Yeshaya tells them the destruction is going to come now to Babylon. Now let's see you come help the people out. Where's all your advice now? Everything you foretold them would be, where is it? Al ze ha'inyan yeh hadavar l'imot ha'mashiach me'ra yigaleh. This is what's going to be when Mashiach comes, and may he reveal himself soon. That when the nations will think that this nation, the Jewish people, will never again stand up, and that this people will never again have a government, the nations will reach a point where they'll say, these people, they're never going to be redeemed. It's over. The Jewish people are finished. וכל החכמים and all the wise men, כולם פה אחד בעצה הזאת. Everyone's going to agree that they have no future. וגם הקוסמים בעלי הכוחות and the magicians, everyone that's supposed to have all these strengths, everyone's going to agree that the Jewish people have no future. At that time, יפר הקדוש ברוך הוא מחשבותם וסברתם הנחשת. God will undo their thoughts and their mistaken attitudes. ואז יגלה המשיח, and that's when the Mashiach will reveal himself. שכן אמר ישעיהו בביאור עניין זה, as Isaiah said, explaining this, Mefer otot vadim, God undoes the different signs that the liars make to try and sustain their lies. Vekosamim yolel, and God makes jest of the magicians. Meshiv chachamim achor, God makes the wise men take a step back. Vedaatam yisakel, and undoes their thoughts. Mekim devar avdo, but God sustains the words of his servants, his prophet. Va'atzat malachav yashlim, and the thoughts of his messengers, his kings, he sustains. Ha'omer l'Yerushalayim, he will foretell Jerusalem, tushav, may you be inhabited. Ula'arei Yehuda tibanena, and to the cities of Judah be built. V'chorvoteha akomim, and I will build their desolate, their destroyed cities. So, what we see today, Rambam said, when we look at Rav Sandigon, who gave us a date, we have to look upon him favorably and understand the situation he was in historically, and that he's the one that thinks then the Jewish people made it this far. If he had to give a date, then he obviously felt it was necessary in order to sustain the Jewish people. We discussed that only someone on the level of Rav Sadigon's own, who's the leader of the Jewish people, can allow himself to do such an act in which the ends justify the means. The Rambam went on to discuss the fact that he saw in the letter that the author, the rabbi, had thought to figure things out based upon astrology, and he told them things don't work that way. Throughout our history and in our future, the wise men and the astrologers and anyone who thinks he knows how to gauge the future is going to say that things are looking down for the Jewish people. That's when they look up. And when they think things are looking up for other nations, that's when they really look down. And that's also what's going to be in the time of the Mashiach. The Rambam says that's not how we call the shots. If a prophet tells us, that's how we know it's going to be. But all the people who think they could foretell the future, you can't count on them. And Bezat Hashem, this is where we're going to pick up next week, Bezat Hashem.